I have no relations as close as. So many of y'all probably do not know about historic Black Greek letter organizations. As I said, I'm a member of this fraternity. It's the oldest Black Greek letter organization, founded December 4th, 1906 in Ithaca, New York, at Cornell University. Basically, both the fraternities and sororities are service organizations. Our fraternity has over 360 campuses in the U.S. and Caribbean, 600 total. So we have 5,000 student members currently. We have over 95,000 alumni members. And so we really focus on leadership, service, and you know, work to improve mankind. So if you think about what we do in service work and leadership, Dr. Cornel West is an alpha. Martin Luther King Jr. is an alpha. Mark Morial is an alpha. Du Bois is an alpha. Dr. Lewis Sullivan is an alpha. Jesse Owens is alpha. So we have many members of our fraternity who are doing work and who have been leaders as it relates to addressing social justice issues, political issues, and in the fields of education. And in many of our service projects, we work on empowerment and capacity building. So we have a Go to High School, Go to College program, Voteless People is a Hopeless People. We have a new program called From the High Chair to Higher Education. So we focus on young men from the development high school to get them to higher education. And we also have sort of collaborative programs with March of Dimes, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and other entities to really focus on underserved communities. So many of these chapters are in these communities that serve underserved populations. Let me use this one. So why are these organizations important? Like I said before, they're different than other Greek letter organizations. They act primarily as service organizations. And what we really want to do with the fraternity is use the infrastructure of the fraternity and also the other organizations to really empower folks and educate them on environmental justice and health issues. Many of those communities are the communities that host, you know, environmental hazards, incinerators, heavily trafficked roadways, industrial hog farms, some of the rural areas, poor infrastructure, food deserts, dealing with food. Actually, people talk about food deserts. That's the outcome. Food apartheid is the system. So just want to correct folks, you talk about food deserts a lot. Dealing with the symptom is the food desert. The problem is really the food apartheid. Just want to say that. And so many of these campuses, many of the host communities and also host campuses for the fraternity are historically Black colleges and universities. So you not only do you have opportunity to educate folks in the community through the fraternity, but also educate students who may not be necessarily part of the environmental movement on these issues as well. So that's why we see this initiative as an important initiative to really increase knowledge, increase awareness, and increase stewardship of African-American populations. So what we want to do is do advocacy, outreach, and capacity building. We're really trying to, again, talk about sustainability and really look at issues of not just the environmental hazards and externalities that we talk about a lot, but also many of these communities, you think about psychosocial stressors, you have crime, violence, and poverty in the communities. And also, as I said before, many of these communities also are impacted by not having good health promoting infrastructure. So when you think about the host chapters and the communities that host these chapters, the chapters have an opportunity to hit really three very important issues that impact African-American neighborhoods. So why is the initiative important? We need to have all hands on deck. As I said, many communities of color are not really involved in the environmental movement. The environmental movement hasn't really appealed well to diverse populations, particularly because of the framing, because it hasn't talked about context. It's more important for me to take care of paying my electricity bill and make sure I can get to work than the priority issues, than worrying about biodiversity issues, for example. So what you do is focus on the primary environmental issues to get them to maybe be interested in these other issues, which are really secondary because a lot of folks are trying to survive. So what we want to do is reframe how we discuss climate change, reframe how we discuss sustainability, reframe how we discuss how to be green. For example, if you have grandmothers who've been recycling for 20 years, they are environmentalists. But right now, it's not being framed that way. If you have families who are doing revitalization using some old school techniques, they are environmentalists, but right now it's not being framed that way to them. So this initiative, we really want to kind of reframe how we talk about environmental issues, particularly even sort of how we talk about green jobs too, which is a whole nother discussion that we can't have today, to make sure that what we're doing really resonates with them and really can engage them in talking about the issues and working on the issues and empowering other impacted communities as well. So getting to the issues of, you know, the PWIs versus HBCUs, there's some interesting dynamics there. There's also issues with how many of our large environmental groups have not really done a good job of actually attracting students of color who go to historically black colleges and really getting them engaged on these issues. And so again, it gets back to the reframing. For many of these students on these campuses, they're more interested in issues of political exclusion, social justice, looking at economic opportunities, talking about empowerment, and talking about health disparities. So when you think about environmental movement and those issues then how they're discussed currently, you really need to reframe those issues to kind of reflect those topics, reflect those concerns. And so what we want to do is really engage folks who are environmental justice leaders to get them to help our efforts as a fraternity to educate our membership, and then really to engage the environmental movement when we have these new cadre of leaders, student leaders who are really excited. I mean, these campuses about working on green issues, but again, they really are looking at them and environmental issues from a totally different perspective. So the mission is adoption of green policies fraternity, capacity building of the brotherhood, development of partnerships with national organizations, which I will talk about, and then capacity building in underserved communities. The vision, building green, healthy, sustainable communities through brotherhood and service. As I said before, our black green leather fraternities and sororities are very different than non-black green leather organizations. We're all about service. And so once you leave your college and go into alumni chapter, your service work does not end once you graduate from college. Your service work continues throughout your career, professional career as an alumni member. So you could be in the fraternity and sorority for 30, 40 years doing service work. So it's a very different concept. It's a very different approach. So these organizations are actually very much part of the health promoting infrastructure, just like churches are, just like other civic organizations are, that can really be engaged to help us do a better job of educating the public and engaging those populations that are not necessarily involved in the environmental movement on these issues that we're concerned about. So here are the goals. Alpha Goes Green, capacity building, national partnerships again. Goal number one, we kind of go into the process of making our fraternity headquarters, which is headquartered in Baltimore, making it green. We established a green team already. One of the big things that we've done, we have our website, Alpha Goes Green website. Now I'll have the link for it. And we're creating YouTube videos, we're creating brochures, and we're trying to attract a national spokesperson for the initiative. And that national spokesperson is not me, because I'm already overextended. At the website, we're talking about issues. We have a really good website. We're talking about climate change, environmental justice and health, sustainability, alternative energy, natural hazards, food injustice, energy efficiency, and how to be green. We have activity guides for fraternity members. Chapters who are doing green activities can upload their videos and pictures, because our chapters have a national sort of chapter of the year award. So if you want to be national chapter of the year, now they have opportunity to do more green activities now. And we also have news feeds and information links on our website. And so actually, yesterday, we had members of the fraternity who were at the National Arbor Day Foundation's conference in Philadelphia. So we're building a partnership with the Arbor Day Foundation, and that's one of our primary partners right now. Goal number two, the strategies and actions, we're training our membership. One way we're doing it, as I said before, we had members who learned about sort of the tree skate program, the tree campus program that Arbor Day Foundation has. And we're also building a partnership with the Environmental Defense Fund, which I will get into later in the presentation. How much time do I have? Okay, quickly into the I'll get there real quickly. Our three primary partners that we're working with, we're building partnerships with other organizations, with the Environmental Defense Fund, with the Arbor Day Foundation, and also with the EPA. And so we're in the process right now of developing an MOU with the EPA. We're in the process of developing an MOU with the Arbor Day Foundation, and we're in the process of developing an MOU with the Environmental Defense Fund. Strategy number four is really the capacity building, the training for community partners. So we're doing that. We're working, the undergraduate and the graduate chapters are working together right now. And it's still a pretty new initiative, so things are starting slowly, but these are some of the things that we want our chapters, both undergrad and graduate chapters, to do. Let me skip through a little bit. So we have a partnership with the Environmental Defense Fund, and part of, you know, many of you know who the Environmental Defense Fund is, so I won't cover that too much. Why is this partnership important? As I said before, the environmental movement has really lacked diversity, even with a lot of the efforts that have been made in the last 20 years. And, you know, Lisa Jackson, head of the EPA, has made diversifying the environmental movement one of her top 10 or top 7 priorities. I think it's 10 or 7. Diversity in the movement allows us to have more innovative, creative solutions. And also, we really want to kind of use this approach to not only talk about EJ issues, but think about how we can really make the green economy, which is really, you know, hot out there right now. But many of the green jobs are not getting to communities that really need them. So for me, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors right now as it relates to green jobs, particularly in communities that really need the new green infrastructure, the green jobs, and these blue-green interactions, blue-green collaborations that are not really going on in the underserved communities that are impacted by environmental justice. That's just my opinion. So we need all hands on deck. So we're working with Michael Regan, Marilyn Marsh Robinson, and Jill Logerman from EDF. EDF is doing a lot of work related to developing relationships with minority serving institutions, such as historically black colleges and universities, expanded serving institutions. So they have three primary ways to do that. They have a Climate Corps program, they're doing curriculum development, and they're doing student engagement. And the student engagement piece is engaging our undergraduate chapters on those HBCU campuses. So the Climate Corps program just identify wasteful energy use and promote energy efficiency. They're doing case studies right now and working with three HBCUs in North Carolina, North Carolina Central, Johnson C. Smith, and I think they're working with the HBCU that's on the coast. I always forget the name of that one, the one that's on the coast. Elizabeth City State, thank you. They're with Elizabeth City State. And so last year, this is some part of the assessment they did in North Carolina Central. $13 million can be saved over 5 years, 64% reduction in energy costs. And so they're doing curriculum development with the students to actually help students actually track into programs to get into, you know, green occupations. And so we submitted a grant with EDF last year. We'll be resubmitting it this year. But basically our program, partnership with EDF has three components: education, implementation, replication components. So we're developing an online environmental education curriculum with EDF. And our website is actually green.alpha1906.net, if you want to go to that website. Actually, that's going to be the new website. The current website is green.apa1906.net, if you want to go to the website. That's going to be the new website, actually. And then the implementation phase, where we're using some of the funding right now, not to focus nationally, but just on the partnerships in North Carolina to help the chapters submit grants to do some of the green programming. So, you know, green concerts, hosting campus events on sustainability, also the recycling programs. We're going to leverage the relationship with the Arbor Day Foundation to bring in the Treescape program, and then doing some Earth Day programs, which more or less focus on justice issues. And then we're already in the process of trying to build relationships with the other members of the, what we call them, Divine Nine fraternity sororities. And so not only is Alpha working on an MOU with the EPA, but also the AKAs are working on an MOU, Alpha Kappa Alpha, which is the oldest black Greek letter sorority. It's working on an MOU. So what we're trying to do is work with these organizations. All these organizations have members from diverse populations. They're in communities that are underserved. They're at HBCUs. So we can really engage this infrastructure more to, again, to help educate the populations that are not really connected to the environmental movement, and really do it in a way where we focus on justice issues and focus on issues that are more priorities for them. And then even as it relates to the solutions, so part of the solution is the education solution. Another part of the solution is the behavior change solution. But to get to the behavior change solution, you have to focus on the context solution. So that to change the context, to change behavior, and the way we want to engage the communities to change the context is really to bring in a revitalization approach, bring in a jobs approach. So we're going to move from educating the brotherhood and then use a train-to-train approach to educate the community, and then try to use green entrepreneurship to really build the economic infrastructure to help change the context. As you know, non-health policies impact health. So the fourth phase of what we want to do is going to take time to get to that point. But right now we're really focused on goal number two and goals number three about the education piece and the partnership building piece, which will allow us to hopefully be able to build that infrastructure over time to get the chapters engaged and work with the underserved communities to really bring in solutions around how we can really address environmental injustice in its many forms. And so, conclusion, this initiative has the potential to bring more positive attention to the fraternity. It can lead to energy savings for the fraternity, bring in additional resources, help expand the partnerships with groups who are interested in green issues. We really want it to use as a way to recruit and retain our membership, which is a problem from many of our organizations. And I think through this infrastructure and through this focus on EJ issues and green-related issues, the fraternity could be a great mechanism to really, again, engage those populations that we serve every day. And again, sort of help to build capacity, you know, educate, empower, and affect positive social change in the communities that we serve. And the website, again, the current website is green.apa1906.net. And I think that's it. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so the EPA grant was the EPA's environmental education grant. So they have a national grant, and you have to have like a cost share to get it. I have to have a match. And they also have regional grants. And then with the food apartheid, if you think about, you know, food injustice, you're thinking about how the system of where food goes, who was able to get food, the system of how we have big sort of multinational food corporations and how they control seed, and then we have those partners, how they control actually the distributors. And then also why certain supermarkets go in certain communities and why they don't go to other communities, and connecting those issues to sort of housing policies, suburbanization policies, looking at gentrification today. And so part is that whole system of how power and privileges are really embedded in how we zone, plan, and develop, and where grocery stores go to and where they don't go to. So that's where the food apartheid comes. It's really talking about power and privilege and how we zone, plan, and develop, and bringing in sort of the social injustice into that. So the food deserts are not by accident. It's not by accident that all the big grocery stores in the suburbs and all the urban environments don't have supermarkets. They have convenience stores, liquor stores, which we call food pathogens. Okay.
Okay, you can do one more if it's quick.
I know you, Derek. I'll go.
Do you have the chapters on your website?
Say that again?
Do you have a list of the chapters on your website?
So we have, not on that website, we actually have our national website you can go to for the fraternity, which has all the chapters on there. So all you just do, I don't know it off the top of my head, but you just type in on Google Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. You'll go to our national website, which that's where that has all the chapters. This website is actually our specific green website. So we have a separate website for the green education. Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, Sakoba.